The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to look at the essence of my message to Christians, part 4, and then we'll look at overcoming Christmas and observing tabernacles. Overview of the broadcast. I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. This broadcast continues this analysis. We'll start out looking at your ministry and state that it is not about people. We will note that each major religion and denomination preserves different truths. We will stress that Christmas, Easter, etc. are pagan feasts and should be avoided at all costs. It will be noted that there are very few true believers on earth today and that good is not the issue, that the church is corrupt and valueless. It will be stressed that true belief recognizes the above and worships only the Creator. I will emphasize that the fundamental reason we exist is to become friends of the Creator, and I'll suggest a prayer to pray if this article impacts you to action. We will then look at overcoming Christmas and observing tabernacles. We will refer to Yeshua and the Feast of Tabernacles, and advise that you book leave from work. Also that you consider the evils of Christmas and make sure to avoid those traps. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio and TV program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. You'll find at least three or four podcast sites with back issues. So we're continuing with the article 2020-10-04, The Essence of My Message to Christians, and this is part four. I want to start off by talking about your ministry. There's nothing in Yah's plan for this age that involves people sitting in seats being taught for years at a time. The intention is that you believe, clean up your life, see the article 7 components of drawing close on the website, and then go into ministry as either a spokesman or spokeswoman, prophet or prophetess, one who listens and speaks on behalf of the Creator, an evangelist, one who publicizes the matters of the Creator and leads people to belief, a shepherd, one who cares for the new converts and leads them to a point where they can enter into ministry on their own, and an emissary or apostle, and that is a senior and experienced one of the above. It is vital to understand that you are called to ministry. Basically, you should have an occupation that provides the finances for your ministry, and then you have a ministry that you self-finance. The idea of thousands of people gathering week after week to be taught is not Father's intention. 42, it's not about the people. Many believers get sidetracked about the messed up state of the world and the distress and turmoil of the people. The people who are mostly in this distress are unbelievers, and they're there because of their unbelief. Yah is indifferent to their lot, so praying for them and constituting ministries for them is a waste of time. Focus on getting close to the Almighty, and then focus on reaching the believers, then the unbelieving believers and the believing unbelievers, and teaching them the truth. Folks, this is so important. We tend to look at all the things that are wrong in the world and feel compassion, and then go off and do all sorts of things about it at the expense of our relationship with Father. I'm not saying that you shouldn't help people in need. I'm not saying that people who are diseased, etc., is not an issue, that people are unbelievers. But you've got to get your priorities right. You've got to get to a close personal relationship with Father and then do what it is that He's telling you to do. And right now, what He's most concerned about is getting the people who are at some shaky level believers and helping them to come to a place of relationship with Him. Then you're in a place to be able to do something about what's going on in the world. Before that, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. You need to get to a point where you can heal the sick, raise the dead, prophesy, move in power, and teach other people and anoint other people to move in power and authority. That's what it's all about, is powerful people touching the world, bringing about change, turning people's captivity into dancing. 43, each major religion and denomination preserves different truths. Each major religion, particularly Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, preserve different truths. Other religions also contain truth. The sum of all truth is at least theoretically available from consideration of what every one of these groups hold to be truth. Note that all the denominations and major divisions of Christianity each preserve certain distinct truths, while at the same time largely sharing key common errors. Throughout time, there have been pockets of people in each religion and denomination who are moderately close to Father, and they have preserved important truths. If you understand why there are so many different religious groupings, denominations, whatever you want to call them, it's because the forces of darkness attack each group of believers. They don't worry about every truth. They just look to get them into enough sin and enough error and enough deception for them to be powerless and ineffective and not to be a threat in the contest. And so you have this paradox of millions of people belonging to religions and thousands of people going to churches and mosques and synagogues and temples and what have you, but they don't have a relationship with Father. The most important thing about why we're here, to have a relationship with Father, and they don't have a relationship. And then they get upset with each other and they fight about, should we dunk or dip, and should we do this, and should we do that, and why don't we do this, and they're in error on that, and we've got the truth here, and we're the only ones with the truth there. It's so divisive and it's so unproductive. Then Christmas, Easter, etc. are pagan feasts and should be avoided at all costs. Christmas, Easter, etc. are pagan feasts. Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, around September, October every year, and not on the 25th of December. 25th of December is the birthday of the sun god, and it's an abomination in the sight of Yah. Easter is not Passover. See the web pages, Satanic Feasts, True Sabbaths. Note that Christmas is a pagan feast and is an abomination in the sight of the Almighty Creator. See the webpage Christmas Pagan. See also the article Overcoming Christmas, Observing Tabernacles, and the article Evil of Christmas. Folks, there's a lot on the website about this. There are other pages as well. Please engage with them, particularly Christmas. There are all sorts of traditions around Christmas that are absolutely based on some horrible, horrible stuff. Look at the website, The Evil of Christmas, the webpage, The Evil of Christmas, and just engage with that and get a sense. And then it's the birthday of the sun god. So the whole global economy shuts down for about a week, if not 2 weeks, over Christmas, which is effectively an act of worship of Satan and a big thumbing of noses at the Creator. And then we have the birthday of Yeshua on the first day of Sukkot, round about September, October every year. And nobody observes it. Virtually nobody observes it. Nobody, almost nobody. That's when Yeshua was born. And yet they celebrate Yeshua's birth on the 25th of December, which is absolute nonsense. 45, there are very few true believers on earth today. As at the 25th of December 2015, there were only approximately 205,000 human beings in some measure of right standing with the Creator on earth. That number has, if anything, decreased since then. That number includes Christians, Jews, Muslims, Yogis, Hindu, etc. There were about another 2.5 million people who would make it into the Great Hall in heaven at that time, again, across all people groups, all religions. Of these, about 500,000 were adulterous wives who were spirit-filled but who were worshipping Jesus or Muhammad or Moses, Moshe, etc. Most of these were Christians. If anything, that number has decreased. In fact, The total number of people who would end up in heaven today has decreased since December 2015. Then there were about 20 million who had at some time believed but had never formed any sort of relationship with the Creator or done nothing in His service. These will end up in the outer darkness outside the Great Hall in heaven, the trash heap of heaven, as Yah calls it, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, their teeth, for eternity. In fact, they would probably be better off if they'd not believed. Finally, there were about 100 million believing unbelievers, people who were at some level religious, but who had never admitted the reality of the Creator. Look at the demographics of the kingdom for detailed discussion. Folks, there's no point in getting converts unless they are supported to grow strong in their relationship with Father. Otherwise, they're better off not being converted. And the people who are converting those people and just leaving them to rot are also in for a nasty surprise on the Day of Judgment. In considering these statistics, you need to check firstly whether you truly believe that the Almighty Creator exists. Then you need to check whether you have at some level a relationship with Him. If not, you need to clean up urgently. There are a couple of videos on the link to on the website. Look at the webpage video, Why Seek Relationship with the Almighty Creator. Also see the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close. Then consider the reality that many of the people you've considered to be believers are not. Consequently, your entire picture of religion on earth today is likely skewed by lack of awareness of the above statistics, such that those who truly have some measure of right relationship are scattered all over the earth across most religious groupings and interspersed with large numbers who are not in right standing. Note that when I say right standing, that is a relative term. They virtually all have some of the errors that are addressed above and on my website, and therefore are not particularly close to the Almighty. Just consider the 100 million believing unbelievers, people who go to church and what have you, but they have no realization, no revelation of the reality of the Almighty, and that includes a lot of people who believe in Jesus. It's a huge issue, folks. Father is interested in those that believe getting closer to Him and helping the others that believe to get closer to Him. That's His priority right now. He doesn't have time to worry about the rest. The number of believers is shrinking by the day as people die off and new people don't join. Then good is not the issue. When you consider the previous point, then the next point is that there are huge numbers of good people on earth, billions, but the vast majority have no relationship with the Creator and are therefore, by the standards of the Almighty, of no consequence to Him. In fact, He said that He is indifferent to them. So if your standard of religious acceptance is good, I regret that you need to rethink. Then to compound this, many of those who are at some level of true belief are heavily demonized and somewhat participating in wars and all sorts of things that are evil and so would not be classed as good. They will pay a heavy price for this in hell after they die, but right now things are confused, so do not judge. To put it bluntly, there are billions of good people who are servants of Satan. This is one of the satanic and demonic realm's most effective ploys. I once had dinner with a professor who I esteemed greatly, and his comment on religion was, as far as I'm concerned, what matters is that you live a good life. And at the time, I couldn't rebut that. I'm talking about 8-9 years ago. And subsequently, I came to the realization that what Father was saying is, if you don't believe in me, why would I want you to spend eternity with me in heaven? And that's the key thing, folks. It's not about being good. It's about, do you have a relationship with Father? And if you have a relationship with Father, you will hopefully live a good life. You will. If you have a really deep relationship, you will live a good life. But if you don't have a relationship, it doesn't matter how good you are. It's not the point. Point number 47, the church is corrupt and valueless. An extension of the previous point is that collective religion, be it the Christian church, the Jewish synagogues, the Muslim mosques, and their associated communities who are doing all sorts of good works, are irrelevant and valueless from the perspective of the Creator because they do not teach people to have a deep relationship with the Creator, but rather make people dependent on the pastor, priest, rabbi, imam, etc., to have the relationship. And even then, most of those leaders do not have significant relationships with the Creator and are teaching error. In years past, these institutions had value. Today, that is no longer the case. Further, it is important to remember that the collective of people who were effectively the church in Jerusalem at the time Yeshua was put to death were calling for his death, so it is correct to say that the church put Yeshua to death. In fact, Yah the Creator says that if Yeshua were to come today, the church would again put him to death. Consider the Inquisitions. Look at the page Inquisition on the website. And the pogroms for an indication of what Christianity does to those who believe differently to the masses. In most cases, they kill the true believers. I've been kicked out of a number of churches for daring to challenge their wrong beliefs. I hope you can see where I'm going with this. Convention, tradition is not from Father. It's a smokescreen. It's a mask that's keeping people from relationship with him. He wants a deep personal relationship with every one of us. We're not going to get that if we are having deep personal relationships with the people in our mosque or our synagogue or our church or our temple or whatever, with the imam, with the priest, with the pastor, whatever. The brutal truth is that the satanic and demonic realm control the church under the guise of good. One can be as good as one likes as long as one is not a strong believer in the Creator, and you're then entirely irrelevant. These comments apply to all religious groupings. To take this a step further, try introducing some of the above truths to the average gentle, loving Christian pastor. See them change into a raging, irrational, demonized tyrant if they're unable to convince you that you are mistaken and you should trust their teaching. The harsh reality is that if you take this message seriously and apply it fully, you will find that you are not welcome in any form of organized religion, except if you band together with a few other like-minded believers. Right now, they are few and far between. Folks, this is, again, so important that I keep saying it's so important, but it is all really, it's actually very important. The fact of the matter is that the satanic and demonic realm are ruling on earth. Satan is the god of this earth. He handed power to the demonic masterminds who control the earth while he's in the pit. Adam was given dominion on earth. He handed control. He handed dominion on earth to Satan when he bowed to Satan and obeyed Satan and ate the forbidden fruit. It's such an issue. Nothing is as it seems. As you get closer to Father, you will realize that what's important to him seems completely unimportant on earth, and what is not important to him is important on earth. And it's a big wake-up call. 48. True belief recognizes the above and worships only the Creator. True belief recognizes all the above and worships Yah alone, not Yeshua, Jesus, not the Bible. In fact, a person who truly accepts all the above is not a Christian. They're a servant of Yah, period. This is vital to understand. Christianity has been corrupt from within a short time after Yeshua died and has become more corrupt over time. It was a limited recovery following on from Martin Luther, and there's been some further limited recovery since then. However, the worship of Jesus and Yeshua and the worship of the Bible have made Christianity beyond the pale, so to speak. And if you're truly seeking a relationship with Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, the day will come when he will tell you to come out of her, the Church of Christ, which as an institution is beyond redemption. There is such great misunderstanding. You can learn a certain amount from your church or your synagogue or your mosque or your temple or whatever, but there is a point in time where if you are growing closer to Father, that you need to say, I am going to leave this. I'm going to walk away from my relationship with my pastor or my rabbi or my imam or whatever. I'm going to walk away from this congregation. And I'm going to dedicate myself to Father Yah. I'm going to draw close to him. I may have some sort of communion with a few other people who believe the way I do. But for the most part, I'm going to be on my own. I might have a wife or a husband who shares my beliefs and family. But basically, I'm going to be on my own. The way that if you read the Bible, you'll see many key people who were close to Father lived on their own in isolation or in small groups of people, prophetic schools and things like that. 49, the fundamental reason we exist is to become friends of the Creator. I've said this several times this evening already, but let me recap. Finally, the ultimate reason we exist is to become friends of the Creator. Fundamentally, nothing else matters. If you do that, you'll qualify for a high throne in heaven for eternity. If you do not get it right, you'll still qualify for a proportionate reward. See the webpage video, Why Seek Relationship Most Important. If you worship Yeshua Jesus, or even if you worship Yeshua and do not have a relationship with Yah, the Almighty Creator, you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. See the webpage above. Accordingly, if you're a Christian, be it nominal or deeply committed, I appeal to you to turn from your error and turn to the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Repent of worshiping Jesus or Yeshua, pray the following prayer or something like it. Here's a suggested prayer adjusted as appropriate to your unique circumstances. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I confess that I've worshipped Jesus, stroke Yeshua. I recognize this now as sin, and I repent and ask you to forgive me. Help me to start on a new path, serving you alone. I confess that I've worshipped the Bible, and I recognize this as sin, and I repent and I ask you to forgive me. And help me to start on a new path, serving you alone. I confess that I've used wrong names for you, Yeshua, and others. I now recognize this as sin, and I repent and ask you to forgive me. Help me to start on a new path using the correct names and words. I choose to forsake the pagan religion of Christianity and turn to worshipping and serving Yah, the eternally self-existing alone. I thank you for what I've learned through Christianity that has brought me thus far and brought my relationship with you thus far. But I now choose to serve you only. Please help me to do this in whatever way possible. Help me to pray appropriately and to act appropriately. Thank you for forgiving me and setting me free. Amen. There are all sorts of things that you could and should pray. There's web pages on prayer, the essence of my message concerning prayer, and it's another page called prayer. There's a whole lot of prayers there that you can pray. There's a web page on when you first come to belief, some rituals and some prayers there that you can, and other things that you can do. There's the Article 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty, which goes into a lot of detail about cleansing yourself, getting yourself up to a really close relationship with Father. There are various web pages dealing with becoming a friend, what it is, means to be a friend, etc. And I suggest that you go and read those. I really encourage you to seek to become Father Yah's friend. That's what you're on earth for. Every one of us is here to become his friend. Virtually nobody knows that. Virtually nobody is trying to do that. He wants you, he wants everyone on the planet to become his friend. Right now, there's a handful of people who are potentially friends. The rest are, some few are trying to get there. The vast majority don't even know it's possible. They're not even trying to do it because they don't know that it's necessary to do it. They don't know how to do it. And that's what my ministry, what my website is about. It's about how do I help you to come to a place of saying, Father Yah, I want to become your friend. I will do whatever it takes to become your friend. I will make the sacrifices that are necessary to become your friend. I really, really recommend that to you. please just go for it. And then once you've prayed the prayer that I've just shared with you, or a similar prayer, and you add or subtract as seems appropriate to you, there is no formal standard one prayer that you pray. Take the bread and wine of the covenant and claim forgiveness. See the webpage, Critical Actions on First Belief. Also the articles on the webpage, Why Seek Relationship Most Important, particularly the article on seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. So take the bread and the wine, the Holy Communion, they call it the sacrament, some people call it. Take the bread, Father, I thank you that on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the bread, he broke it and gave it to those who followed him and said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this as oft as he shall eat it in remembrance of me. Then taking the cup of red grape juice or red wine, in the name of Yeshua, I recall that on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup, gave it to those who followed him and said, take, drink, this is my blood given for you. Do this as oft as you shall drink it in remembrance of me, for shed for forgiveness of sin. And you drink that and you say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I partake of the sacrament. I ask you to forgive me all of my sins, all the things that I've done that I should not have done, all the things that I've not done that I should have done. And I ask you to sanctify me with the blood of the covenant. I ask you to cleanse me. And I ask you to help me go forward in strength and to become your friend. In conclusion, I hope that this has helped you and you'll now turn to serving your mighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing alone. Part of doing this is that you no longer call yourself a Christian, but rather refer to yourself as a believer in the Most High Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, or something similar to that. 2021-1207 is the next article, Overcoming Christmas, Observing Tabernacles. In the last few weeks, I've presented a detailed article regarding the true birthday of Yeshua, Jesus, on the... In the last few weeks, I presented a detailed article regarding the true birthday of Yeshua on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. See the webpage, True Birthday of Yeshua. And I've also presented a collection of a series of articles relating to the evils of Christmas. See Evil of Christmas webpage. The bottom line is that Father Yah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, requires his followers to totally eschew Christmas and refrain from any form of observation, celebration, gift-giving, feasting, etc. The only valid response for a true believer to Christmas is to fast and or carry on secular activities as you would on any other working day of the year. If Christmas is on a Saturday, simply conduct your Sabbath as you would any other Saturday Sabbath, with no special conduct other than possibly fasting. This year, I've been contacted by several people who follow my teachings asking how they should respond to Christmas in the context of their children. In the context of their children do not understand why there's no tree and no gifts and no feasts, and that this is causing serious problems. I've also been asked how to respond when people give gifts, etc. This article seeks to respond to these questions based on the feedback that I gave in response to the above questions. Following are suggested measures you can take. So it's a huge thing, folks. If you live in a so-called Christian society, observing Christmas is just ingrained in the whole of that society. There's so much that goes on. There's so much fun, exciting, nice stuff. It's so seductive. Suggest you read the article on Yeshua and the Feast of Tabernacles at Yeshua and Feast of Tabernacles on the website and take note of the celebrations and rituals that took place in those days and adapt these for your use. You can also search online for articles on the Feast of Tabernacles from Jewish and Messianic sources and adapt them as seems appropriate. Do not turn this time of joyous celebration into some sort of legalistic event. I'm talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Inform your friends and family. Start now. Commence to inform your immediate family and friends of your decision to observe the Feast of Tabernacles as Yeshua's birthday and also Yah's great feast of the year. and involve them in planning what you will do at Tabernacles so that it becomes an event that is at least as special as Christmas was historically. Note that observance of Yeshua's birthday is only one limited component of Tabernacles. Do not bring Christian worship of Jesus into the first day of Tabernacles. Then plan a major event over Tabernacles. Plan a major event at least as big as you've historically observed for Christmas, plus New Year, plus Thanksgiving, combined. Spread over the 8 days of the feast. Involve your whole family in planning and brainstorming ideas. Note that Tabernacles is a harvest feast in the Northern Hemisphere and therefore effectively covers Thanksgiving in large measure, although I'm not aware of any reason not to observe Thanksgiving in the USA as well as Tabernacles. So what I'm saying to you is learn about the Feast of Tabernacles, observe the Feast of Tabernacles, have a feast. So all the things that you would have done at Christmas, you now do at Tabernacles, but you don't bring the tree, you don't bring the decorations, you don't bring the angel on the top of the tree and all of that stuff. Read the articles on the evils of Christmas and see the things that you don't do when you're observing Tabernacles. Read the article on Yeshua and the Feast of Tabernacles to get a glimpse of the way it was observed in Yeshua's day. Then book leave from work. If appropriate, book annual leave from work over the full 8 days of Tabernacles as soon as you have the final date for Tabernacles. These dates are generally available in the new year. The annual date floats, the actual date floats between September and October. I ignore the issue of the ripening of the barley at Aviv, which is the start of Yah's calendar, and I simply work on the astronomical first day for Aviv. My preferred calendar for the dates of Yah's set apart High Sabbaths is from the website www.kodesh.co.za. That's Q-O-D-E-S-H.co.za. Note that it is not essential to take leave for the 8 days. Only the first and the eighth days are High Sabbaths when you should take leave from work. I only suggest the full week because most people take at least a week off work on Christmas, and our goal is to attach comparable honor to Tabernacles. Remember that if you feast and take holidays and what have you and shut down your business for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks over Christmas, you're giving esteem and honor to Satan. You may not be thinking that. It may not be intended, but that is the way that the satanic and demonic realm receive it. Then budget appropriately. Set aside budget of the sort of finances you would traditionally budget for Christmas to spend at this time. This is not essential. You do not want to get into a bidding war with Christmas, but I believe that it is important that your children and family should have something to look forward to that is just as special to them as Christmas is to those who observe Christmas, and something to talk about at school, etc. Yah does not expect his feast to be a poor relative of Satan's feast. Then plan a sukkah or a booth. I recommend that you build some sort of sukkah or booth for Tabernacles. If you search on the internet, you'll find plenty of material from both Jewish and Messianic groups. I would not go to excessive lengths, but I would suggest that at the very least you could erect a basic sukkah with palm fronds, willow boughs, etc., instead of a Christmas tree. Do not use pine in any shape or form. Religious Jews will tell you that you need to build a sukkah outside and dwell in it for the week. I've never done this, but I leave it up to you. If you have a suitable location and weather, it could be fun for the children. So I've never built a sukkah. I need to be honest with you. But if you're trying, I've never been maritally in a situation where there was an orientation and an opportunity to do that. But I think it would be fun for particularly a family with young children to go out in the garden if they have a garden and just have some fun with it. You don't have to do it. The sukkah is very much a second order thing. Do whatever seems right to you. But don't bring Christmas decorations and Christmas trees and things with it. Read the article, read the evils of Christmas, and avoid those traps. There's a web page on the evils of Christmas. It's important to read the articles on the evils of Christmas cited previously, in order to make sure that you do not inadvertently bring those evil traditions across with you. especially no tree and none of the traditional baubles, etc. Do not export Christmas to the time of tabernacles. That's not the goal. Ask Father for wisdom and use your discretion. I don't suggest that you labor the point of Christmas. Read the article once, just get a handle on how evil it is, and then put it behind you. Get a fix on you are giving worship to Satan by observing Christmas. Put it behind you. Get a handle on tabernacles is what Satan counterfeits at Christmas. So enjoy tabernacles. Have a feast. Give gifts. Have a sukkah if you want a sukkah. Regarding receiving gifts, I've also been asked what to do with regard to gifts being given at Christmas by friends and family. To me, this is an extension of the points above. Start well ahead of time and let all those people know that you will not be observing Christmas and that you'd like to exchange gifts at tabernacles. If, notwithstanding this, someone gives a gift at Christmas, receive it graciously and explain that you will reciprocate at tabernacles. You might like to produce a card that explains your decision to observe tabernacles and use this as an opportunity to share your belief. And then enjoy tabernacles. It should be a time of rejoicing. And please understand, even though Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, tabernacles is not first and foremost about celebrating Yeshua. It's about celebrating Yah. It's about celebrating the Creator, not His created one, Yeshua. And so it's really important to get that. That's the end of that article. What I'd like to do is to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I can't stress this enough. There is only one reason that you exist, that the plants and the animals exist, that the planet exists, that the solar system exists, that the universe exists, is for you and me to become friends of the Creator. If you don't become a friend of the Creator, the whole thing is a waste of time. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how well educated you are or how poor, badly educated you are. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're fat or thin. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or short. It doesn't matter whether you're Negro or Caucasian or Asian or Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Satanist or witch or Presbyterian or Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran or Baha'i or Yogi or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever. It doesn't matter. He will meet you where you are today. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to help me to become your friend. Bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want out. Open the doors you want open. Close the doors you want closed. Go and read the article on 7 steps of drawing close and do everything that it tells you to do. Read the article on first steps when you've come to believe. Watch the video on why develop relationship with the Creator. There is so much material on the website. Just climb in and go for it. I'm here. I'll help you. Email me. You've got the email address. I'll give it to you in a moment. And I'll support you. I'll help you. I'll answer your emails. We can get on Zoom at the weekend and I'll counsel you. I'll help you. I want you to become his friend. He wants you to become his friend. Why wait? It's there for you. I really encourage you to go for it. So wrapping up, key documents in a video on the website, video Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, The Essence of My Message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. It's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show at the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. One word for End Time Issue Ministries to be added to the list. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are all around along the top of the website. And Google search particularly powerful. Over 1,000 web pages, around 2,500 articles. Huge variety of subjects are covered there. Immerse yourself. Fair level of anointing, fair level of inspiration for a lot of what's there, not all of it. As I say on the website does contain error, and if my understanding has evolved dramatically over the more than 20 years since I started writing. I started writing in about 1998. So we're looking at about 25 years of writing that's on the website. Look at the books page. There are about 9,000 A4 pages of books suitable for printing and binding. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, telephone, email, so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. As I said earlier, Father will meet you wherever you are, whoever you are, no matter your background, your religion, your race, your nationality. It doesn't matter if you're African, Asian, European. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes, or black hair and brown eyes, or anything in between. There are a whole lot of wrong thinking that just certain people can have a close relationship with Father. There was a time when a certain group of people were more close to Father than other. That has completely dissipated. It's now a matter of you and you and you. Isolated people around the world saying, you know what? I want to become your friend, Father Yah. In the name of Yeshua, I ask you to help me to become your friend. Show me what to read. Show me what to pray. Lead people who can help me to meet. Lead me to people who can help me. And so on and so forth. The prayers are there on the website. I encourage you to go for it. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you.